Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today I have Allison Joseph, who is the CEO, founder, president, chairman of the board. I'm trying to think of other things of Jew in the City. Allison, how are you?
I am doing well.
So
Thanks for having me on.
Of course, absolutely. So now, are you all of those things and more, right?
Oh, I don't give myself that many titles. I guess the official title I gave myself is founder and director, but yeah,
okay.
Sure, CEO,
okay.
Why not? That sounds impressive.
Okay, no, just kind of like boss, that's what it is, okay? Okay, well, first of all, I mean, there's no question you're a very creative person, and we've actually had you on a long time ago, I forgot when, but why don't you tell everybody a little bit, Jew in the City, what's the mission statement, what are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, so Jew in the City started it. We made the first video maybe about 7.5 years ago, but then I took it more seriously, like as in quit my job seriously to do this a little over 6 years ago. And its mission, its purpose is to break down stereotypes about religious Jews and offer a humorous, meaningful look into Orthodox Judaism. I was raised non-Orthodox, and I was a proud Jew, but I was raised to believe that Orthodox Jews were all extremists and crazy and subjugated women and were closed-minded, and there was really no positive association I had ever had with Orthodox Jews growing up right outside of Manhattan and seeing them, you know, on the streets every now and again. And I had an existential crisis when I was 8 years old. I realized I didn't know why I was alive. There was a tragedy when I was in fourth grade, and a girl was murdered by her father. And
wow.
This tragedy sort of caused me to start asking bigger questions about life. What's my purpose here? What will I take with me when this is all over? And my parents, who had given me an amazing life, had no answer to this most basic question of existence. And so I was very troubled by this. I tried to not think about it. I tried to stay busy and do well in school, which I did, and, you know, go to my extracurricular activities, which I did. But I was always brought back to this question, what's it leading up to? I don't know why I'm here. And I accidentally stumbled upon an Orthodox Jew when I was in high school, when I was almost 16. I was in a Hebrew high class taught by a modern Orthodox guy. And for the first time, I got to meet one of them personally, and I saw that he wasn't closed-minded. He didn't subjugate his wife. He was educated. He was kind, and he was living with meaning. And it sort of opened up a whole new world for me that I could start to explore my heritage. And I started slowly taking more observance on until I became observant myself. But as I was becoming more religious, I was getting all this pushback from friends and family. Don't do it. You'll become one of those people that throw rocks at other Jews. Don't do it. You'll have to have a dozen children. Don't do it. Your husband will subjugate you. And I wasn't putting this together yet as like an idea, but it was about 8 years ago when I was interviewed by a journalist who wanted to speak to an Orthodox woman, and I saw that after 3 hours of speaking, every idea she had about me was wrong, I realized that we're doing the worst job at PR, and that people are really judging us based on the headlines, based on the worst of the community, based on ridiculous caricatures in movie and TVs and TV shows, and I was going to use social media to change people's opinion, basically.
So what do you think, by the way, what should Orthodox, since you're right about the stereotype, what do you think Orthodox Jews should do about it? I mean, I know what you've done, but what do you think everybody else should do?
I think the first thing we have to do is be aware of the fact that it's so prevalent. I'm on Facebook a lot. I started on as a YouTuber and then expanded to Facebook and Twitter and the rest of the platforms. But I'll hear Orthodox Jews say things to me like, oh, come on, in 2013, you can't really believe that people don't think that women are allowed to work. Or in 2013, you can't really believe that people think that all the men have to be rabbis and have no career choices. And what people don't realize is that, yes, this is actually what a lot of people believe. So the first thing we have to do is sort of realize that every headline that comes out in the news, we are being judged by it and compared to it, and there's no nuance between the people that make the headlines and the rest of us. So much so, you know, I would consider myself, you know, within the modern Orthodox world, the right-wing side of it, or maybe centrist Orthodox, but I'm certainly not Hasidic. And years ago, one of my neighbors in my old apartment building told me that she wanted to make some hats for the women of my community, and it was a predominantly modern Orthodox community. She said, what do you wear? I said, we wear cute hats. She said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know, whatever's in style. Look at the magazines, what we wear. And she stopped me and she said, pillbox hats, right? And I realized that although she had seen me with her eyes for years and years, she had really been viewing me with her stereotypes, and she had been clumping, you know, one stereotype of what an Orthodox Jew is with me in the flesh. So we have to be aware that it exists, and then we have to be talking about the issues with our coworkers and our neighbors and our relatives and try to set the story straight. We can each do it in our own lives. The reason why Jew in the City has a certain power is that there's not enough of us to get to everyone in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not so many of us in general, and we happen to live in just a certain number of cities in the whole world. And so there are people that will never come across an Orthodox Jew in their whole lives. But for those of us that are out there that are aware of the issue, we can certainly break down these misunderstandings each and every day.
Now, do you think one of the reasons is because they know when you come into an Orthodox synagogue, there's a mechitza, and right away that already sets us apart and say, oh, they're so antiquated and old-fashioned?
So, look, mechitza is one thing. No women rabbis is another thing. Mikveh has a lot of bad things going around it, a lot of, you know, misunderstandings, and, you know, they think that we're dirty and that, you know, it's some sort of punishment for, you know, our cycles happening. And then you have the crazy stories in the news, the people that we think are insane who are spitting at little girls because they're only wearing knee socks and not wearing tights. Like, so it's a mixture. It's a mixture of stuff that is true and real but is misunderstood, and then it's in part the worst of the community. And look, there's problems in certain parts of the Orthodox community. No community is perfect. Every community falls short in one way or the other. It happens to be that the way that some communities fall short, it comes out, you know, between man and man and those types of issues, and that's stuff no one really has any patience for, and nor should they. So,
do you think we're kind of our own worst enemy in a way?
Probably. I mean, look, ignorance is the worst enemy, but it certainly doesn't help when, you know, these issues, when extremists and when problems become, you know, public knowledge. The thing is that it's not like we at Jew in the City try to pretend that the problems don't exist. I've spoken to a couple rabbanim that I'm close with about how to handle this, and the rabbi that I'm closest with is a very big believer that we have to speak out against the negative, lest people believe that our, you know, silence makes us complicit to it. So when there are big issues in the media, I will, you know, use Facebook or Twitter to, you know, make a statement that this is not how, you know, Judaism is supposed to be. This is not according to Torah. But it's challenging because, you know, the problems exist, and, you know, we can't make other people act better or behave better or be more honest or, you know, make less trouble. So,
but do you think that in general Orthodox Jews live a better lifestyle than non-Orthodox Jews?
What do you mean by better? I mean, it's
okay,
sort
more,
of hard for
let's,
me. I
let's,
think if you're doing it
let's talk about, is it a more spiritual life?
To another, or an Orthodox Jew versus any other type of person in the world?
Okay, let's talk about an Orthodox Jew versus a non-Orthodox Jew, secular Jew.
Yeah.
Are Orthodox Jews kinder, gentler, more compassionate, more charitable, more honest, ethical?
I think according to the Pew study, the recent Pew study, Orthodox Jews measured up the highest in terms of sort of good deeds. I don't want to have to answer a question like that, you know, because I don't have enough information. But I will tell you, I never experienced in the secular world. And mind you, I was a very good person, honest person, as was my family and friends in that world. So I by no means want to condemn anyone. But I never saw the hospitality that exists in the Orthodox world. That was one thing that was, like, crazy striking to me, that, like, strangers would open up their homes to you. Look, we certainly have these teachings, and we are observant Jews, but there are unfortunately communities within the Orthodox world where there, I think, are a lot of people that are openly and brazenly being dishonest or, you know, scamming the government. We did an article on this recently on the site. So I think overall, you know, again, if you look at the Pew study and how people responded to what their priorities about being Jewish are, you had a higher number of Orthodox Jews saying that ethical behavior was more important. I think actually modern Orthodox was the highest of the group, then came ultra-Orthodox, and then the other denominations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so let's...
Don't take my word for
okay,
that.
Okay, look, you know, okay, you know, everyone's analyzing the Pew report and trying to figure out what it really means, but look, we know what it means. It means right now, it means that a higher percentage of Jews say they have no connection to anything with religion. It means
sure.
The intermarriage rate is higher than we've ever thought it was going to be, and
sure.
There's no question that we in the Orthodox Jewish community have a lot to be proud of, but we have challenges, real challenges that we have to face, and we have to face up to those challenges. So you look, you're doing a great job because you're trying to change the stereotypes. So let's talk about this thing that you came up with, which is really the all-star team, the top 10 of Jews who I guess, exemplify everything that's right about being an Orthodox Jew. You could be an Orthodox Jew, you could live in the Torah world, and yet you could be very successful in the secular world and not really compromise. That's the idea, right?
Exactly.
That's great. Okay, terrific. So how did you pick the people who you decided to pick, the 10 who you picked?
So, you know, it started off last year with a video, and the video was sort of like people that I had a wish list of working with, sort of exemplary people that had, you know, done something exceptional. Tamir Goodman, the Maccabees, Dimitri Salida. I was sort of collecting them along the way, and we were all saying, let's collaborate. That list got started last year when I met Senator Lieberman at a party. He was being honored. I was being given an award, and I just sort of grabbed him quickly on his way out, and I made a personal connection, and then he agreed to be in our video. So that's sort of how last year's thing happened, and we got such a great response. My husband said, like, you should put out a list every year, but for the next time, open up nominations to the public and then let people, you know, tell you who they know who's done, you know, incredible things. And so we opened up nominations at the beginning of September, and we had a panel of judges. And basically, there were more qualified people than we could name, so God willing, we'll be doing this for many more years to come.
Wow, that's great. That's
yeah,
great.
What we wanted to do was we wanted it to be a diverse group. We wanted it to show people from across the Orthodox spectrum. So we have two Hasidim on the list. We have a woman who's a director within the NSA who grew up going to Beit Yaakov of Barrow Park. So we wanted it to, you know, not to fill it up with modern Orthodox people would have been very obvious and would have been very easy to do. But we didn't want to make it so simple. We wanted even in some ways to break down stereotypes for modern Orthodox Jews about what's possible in the ultra-Orthodox world. Now, of course, it doesn't happen as frequently, and we're not going to pretend that it does, but just to show that these things are happening, we had three Lubavitchers on our list last year and one yeshivish woman. And the other interesting thing about our list is that 9 out of 10 of them are from birth, because there's maybe also, you know, a misconception that, like, oh, you can only do cool things if you were, you know, not religious and then switched over.
Right, right.
But actually, and last year also, we had a very high percentage of from birth. So basically, our idea was, let's have a diversity of groups of Orthodox Jews. Let's have a diversity of, you know, categories of industries, business and industry and arts and sports and what else, science and medicine, and what was the last one? Government and law. So we wanted a spread over those different topics. And then we wanted it to be about even, you know, 5 and 5, 4 and 6. Last year we had 4 women, 6 men. This year we had 5 and 5. Mm-hmm. So we wanted, again, are there probably more men, you know, who are able to get higher in their careers because, like, there's just a certain reality about being a mother and having a family, and we completely value that. But we wanted to show that women are doing it too. So
You're having an event, and it's going to be in on Sunday, November 24th. And are all these 10 people coming?
Not all of them, but we have a nice amount between last year's and this year's list. So we also have some, like, other, you know, interesting people of note. We have Bulletproof Stockings, which is getting pretty popular, an alt-rock Hasidic girl band. They're coming as guests as well. We have Ethan Zahn, who is a reality TV star. He won the show Survivor. His mom actually comes from an observant background, and I met him over the summer, and, you know, he had a lot of misconceptions about Orthodox Jews, and I think he's starting to see things in a different way. And it was cool when he was on the show Survivor. He was starving on the island. I don't know if you know how the show works, but they're basically, like, making fires themselves and finding food for themselves. So he won a breakfast one morning from doing a contest, and a large part of the breakfast was pork products. Mm. And on national television, he said he wasn't going to eat the pork, you know, because of his Jewish convictions. So that was pretty cool. He said that, so we're excited for him to be at the party as well. And yeah, so it's with a group as busy as we have, it's hard to get every single person to show up. But we, you know, God willing, we'll have a very nice showing.
So are you getting a lot of PR for this?
You know what? Like, we're trying to get the word out. I'll tell you, like, every day I do a Google News search for Orthodox, and, like, I want to cry at, like, the latest story that's come out, you know? So We're trying to find something that will be exciting to the press and for people to speak about, that will surprise them. And we're trying to show a different side. We're only showed the fanaticism and the extremism and the worst cases. And we want to show people that are just living happily, normal lives and also following their dreams. I think there's been a misunderstanding, you know, for some people, like, oh, what's the point of this? Are you saying that, like, it's better to be, you know, a career woman than to be a mother? Are you saying it's better, you know, to do this job than to be a rabbi or a Torah scholar? And we're not saying that at all. We just want to show people that the possibilities are there, that Shabbos isn't something that has to hold you back. The kosher doesn't have to stop you. That, like, in these different industries, these companies have allowed these people to take off, like, every other day during the month of Tishrei and, like, you know, leave early on winter Shabbos, is that those things are happening and that you shouldn't think that being an observant Jew will limit you.
So what's the common denominator, like, among these people? I look at the list. I mean, I happen to know some of the people on the list. So I'm trying to think of the common denominator. What is it that made them exceptional, able to achieve great things in their profession and career, and yet maintain their sense of being a Torah Jew, Orthodox Jew, committed? What was it?
Probably the ability to dream big, honestly, and to have conviction. I think those are the two parts. It's any person that's successful is hardworking, you know, has big dreams for themselves, goes after the dream. But at the same time, there, I'm sure, were many times for them that there were challenges, you know, presented with the observance, and they stuck to their guns and they, you know, held on to who they were. Part of why we're planning our party right before Thanksgiving, we're calling it, you know, the first Thanksgiving feast ever, is that we think it's a pretty significant time in sort of Jewish American history. We have the holiday of Hanukkah, which commemorates persecution, that, you know, here we were dying to keep our, you know, our laws and study our beloved Torah, and tricking the Greeks by playing dreidel when they would come. We would hear their footsteps. And then we have the holiday of Thanksgiving, which began with a group of people that were seeking religious freedom in our wonderful country. And then our First Amendment right in this land is religious freedom. And so here we are, you know, able to be free like never in history. And we talk about the Pew Report. The vast majority of Jews couldn't care less. They think that having a sense of humor is more important than observing Judaism. It's 42% sense of humor, 19% you know, staying true to the Torah. So we're also hoping that these all-stars will serve as an example, as role models of people that did both, you know, that were part of America and lived out their dreams, but took advantage of these wonderful freedoms that we have.
That's great. That's really great. No, you're contributing in a great way. You're taking your talents and telling the story the way it should be told, because you're right. Most people don't really understand the story, and I always tell Orthodox Jews that they have to be role models. No matter what they do, they have to be role models and for everybody. Okay, that's just the way it goes. And if they are, they'll feel better about themselves also. I think that's important.
For sure.
Let's talk about one other thing. You have a pretty famous learning partner, don't you, I heard?
Yes, Mayim Bialik.
So how did that come about?
That's a pretty crazy story. You know, whenever I have, like, a moment where I'm feeling, like, less connected or, like, more doubting in my faith, I just go back to the story, and I'm like, there has to be a God, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. It was in 2002 that I randomly asked myself one night, whatever happened to Blossom? I had been, you know, watching the show as a kid, like most girls my age, and I had a Blossom hat and had a crush on her boyfriend, Vinny, who I found out was Jewish, but I'm happily married, so that doesn't matter. But anyway, I hadn't thought of her in a decade. The show had been off the air in a decade, and she hadn't crossed my mind. And then one night in 2002, I said, what happened to Blossom? And I randomly Googled her, and I saw that she was getting more interested in Judaism, was minoring in Hebrew and Jewish studies, and had moved from Reform to Conservative. And I thought, oh, she probably wants a partner in Torah. I was working in Partners in Torah at the time, and I, in all my craziness, decided I was going to cold call Mayim Bialik and invite her to learn with me. So I'm looking up her number online and trying to find it on this site and that site, and at a certain point I realized that her number is not listed, because celebrities don't list their numbers, lest crazy people like me call them to invite them to learn Torah on the phone. So I gave up on that idea and just sort of moved on with life. And then 4 years later, she came to Partners in Torah on her own, and we got matched.
Wow. Isn't that unbelievable? Amazing. Now, do you still learn with her?
So this past year has been a pretty slow year in terms of our learning. Honestly, she's had a pretty rocky year.
She was in an accident, wasn't she?
Was in, like, crazy number of therapies dealing with her hand. And then she got divorced and has sort of been dealing with that. So we're more, like, in touch, you know, just through email in these last many months as opposed to formal learning. But she was interested in doing Ein Yaakov, Agada type stuff before her life got kind of crazy. So I told her like this. I'm here for you, you know, when life settles down and it's a little bit less nutso, God willing, we will start up again. So,
that's great. Yeah, we're doing a big project here at the OU with Partners in Torah now. It's exciting for us because we have a situation where we have all of our kids who graduate NCSY, and then we have kids who come to us on Birthright, and then we have a college campus program. And the question always is what's the follow-up? What do we do? After all, you can't just teach them something and leave them high and dry. So now we actually did a joint venture with Partners in Torah, and we're actually going to our OU synagogues and trying to get as many of our members to start learning on the phone with maybe an NCSY kid who graduated and now is in college or someone in graduate school, and during those formative years, see what we can do. So your story is an inspirational story because I'm trying to get as many OU members as I can. You want to talk about how you defy the Pew Report. That's how you defy it, because if you have 10 or 20,000 Orthodox Jews learning with 10 or 20,000 interested people, okay, who knows what the next Pew Report's going to show. It could be incredible.
My really sense is that it's not up for me to tell people what to believe, and it's not up to me to tell people what to observe, but it is up to me to challenge people to educate themselves. That's what my part is. My part is make the decision with information.
Terrific.
And what you come to, believe or feel or practice with your free will after you've been educated, that's for you to decide. It's between you and God, if you believe in God. But you can't reject it sight unseen. Like my kids tell me that my dinner is disgusting after I've slaved away and made a delicious dinner, and they say, ew, that's gross. I tell them you have to give it a try before you say no.
I think that's a great point. Well, anyways, listen, I'm sure you're going to have a great success at your party, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. How do people get in touch with you? What do they do?
We are almost out of tickets, so
people should
get on our website like ASAP.
Okay, great.
You go to JewInTheCity.com/OJAllStars. We have a couple links about how to buy tickets, sponsor the event. It's going to be a rooftop party, God willing. There's just only a certain amount of space that we
have. And we have it in our OU news this week. If you go to the OU website, one of the articles is that Orthodox Union sponsors Jew in the City All-Stars. What do you call it again? Thanksgiving party.
Our Thanksgiving Hanukkah party. Yeah.
Right.
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Right. We have it in our OU this week. This week, right now, as we're talking, we have it in our OU website. So there you go. Anyway, listen, it's always great talking to you, Allison. You're terrific. Keep up the great work, and I'm sure that Jew in the City is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as the years go on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You well. Bye bye.